She is the youngest and prettiest of the sharks on Shark Tank, and you know what? I'm gonna read the rest of it. I think this is Kevin O'Leary inspired, so I'll do it again. She's the youngest and prettiest of the sharks on Shark Tank and has the fastest broom in the East. Oh my. Barbara Corcoran is joining us on the line. Hi there.
Oh my gosh, you're not listening to the lies that Kevin spreads around. I like the one that I'm the youngest when I'm clearly the oldest. Well, but that darn broomstick joke, he's still pushing that around?
It's funny because, you know what, on the red carpet of the AMAs, he mentioned that you have a broom, and I said, I think that's to sweep the doorstep of the million-dollar homes she's selling, Kevin. I mean...
Good for you. Thanks for defending me. You're a good guy. You know what he constantly says at every speech he ever gives? He said, of course I love Barbara. In fact, I bought her a new broomstick for Christmas, and the whole audience laughs. And I'm like, doggone, I can't think of a comeback on this.
But you can't go wrong with a hair joke, I'm sure, right?
Oh no! I would. He's not the least bit self-conscious. He lets me shine his bald head every day on set. He says, "Give it a good shine." I buffed on up. Nah, he's pretty impenetrable. Is that the word I'm groping for?
Sure.
Careful.
Sure. Yeah. We'll go there. Now, see, here's the thing. Let's talk about that though, because I think he's a hypocrite, and I'll tell you why. He says that there's no room for tears and emotion in business, and then jumps on people when they get emotional. But how many times have we seen the zoomed in close up of his eyes welling up when people tell their stories? So what's the deal? He's just a big softy, isn't he?
He is a big softy. And, you know, I think it's taken people a few years to see past his exterior, but when his wife walks on set, his knees shake. I'm telling you, I sit next to him. When he falls for an entrepreneur, he pursues him as though it's his first love of his life. And if something goes wrong, he always stands by people. So he likes to talk about his money, being the soldiers that go out there and bring the prisoners and all that nonsense. But the truth of the matter is he's got the softest touch of all.
And we know the shaking is really just his arthritis, Barbara. Come on.
Oh, no, that's my arthritis ricocheting off his knees. I'm the old one there.
Well, now, speaking of your fellow sharks, there's lots of partnerships that play out on the show. And so I wonder, who are you always willing to include in a deal, and who makes you nervous and why?
Well, I won't give you the second part, because that would be bad-mouthing why I don't go into deals very often with a lot of the sharks.
Okay.
I always like to go into a deal with Mark. Why? Because he's got tons of cash. He's not going to equivocate when it comes time to the closing. It's meaningless if he's going to plunk down $1 million, whereas me, I'm dreaming about it for 4 weeks leading up to it, worried sick, because it's $1 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Mark also does a deal quickly. He closes it, bang, bang. He's either in, he's out, bang, bang, bang. It just happens. It's not a lot of postulating. You don't have to have a lot of conference calls. And he's got an ace team just like I have. They work together, boom, the deal gets done. So he's my favorite shark. And I'm not going to say anything bad about the other sharks, but I can say one thing in a general way. The more cooks you have, the harder it is to make the brew, as they say. And that's a problem with multiple deals on the show, because you have committees, you have to vet it, everybody has an opinion, and meanwhile the poor entrepreneur is standing there waiting for his cash. He wants to close and get on. And then once you're running the business with the entrepreneur, a lot of people weigh in on opinions, and I've never seen a good opinion ever come out of a committee decision in my life. It's usually got to be somebody's call, make the call, run with it, and see what happens.
How long of a process? Obviously, it's going to be different for every type of business and pitch, but how long is that time period of the shaking hands to finally closing the deal, on average, let's say?
On average, I would say 2 months would be the average, but you know what dictates that more than anything else is when the individual's going to air on Shark Tank, because two things happen. When we're saying we're in, we want that deal. We want to close, the entrepreneur wants to close, and then when you get into the due diligence, you very often find things that never came up on air, or things that were spoken on air that really didn't pan out to be necessarily true, like, yes, I own the patent, but it was really the brother-in-law, the ex-brother-in-law who owns the patent, and they say, oh, he'll give it back to me whenever I want. Well, in the due diligence, you say, please send him a letter and get that patent back. Well, of course, the brother-in-law is never going to return the patent because he knows you're on Shark Tank and you're going to make a bundle. So things like that go awry. But what is also interesting to me is every season I have one entrepreneur that has no intention of closing. They really play the system very well, and they're lovely people, and they check out perfectly, but they stretch and stretch and stretch the due diligence aspect of it, because what they're trying to do is get the airtime without needing to take in a partner. They want to see how well they sell and if they really need you anymore. So there's always one deal that the entrepreneur just acts as though they're in love, but they're really the lover that left, and you don't know it until after they air.
So, yeah, I mean, the show is free advertising, really.
Oh, well, it's free advertising, but you have to realize each of these entrepreneurs put their heart and soul into starting the business, and they kind of deserve it if you think about it. And they're practicing like crazy to make their pitch. They're very brave to get up there in the first place, in my opinion. And so they really deserve the free advertising. And yet, the free advertising is great on Shark Tank night, and yet some products don't sell at all. Some products, little widgets, sell $3-5 million worth of product just within a week of airing on Shark Tank. But the real telltale dictator as to whether you have a winning product or not is about 3 months after Shark Tank airs, because now you've got to continue the sales. And the great majority of the businesses don't continue the sales. And that's up to the entrepreneur, how to grab that momentum and keep it going.
In due diligence, if you find that there's been some details fudged and maybe something wasn't quite accurate, does that end the deal for you right there? Or do you say, you know what, okay, I'll keep it because you really like the deal?
I never really liked the deal, honestly, and that's not where my eye is. My eye is always on the entrepreneur. So if it's an integrity issue, I always leave the deal, always, because I feel like I'm going to mistrust in the relationship from the get-go, which isn't going to ever wind up anywhere good. Mm-hmm. But if there was something wrong about the business, but the entrepreneur had the right intent, you know, it's about intent for me more than anything, I forgive and move on, because I get it. You know, people are under pressure. They have huge cameras on the set zooming in within inches of your face, so to catch the sweat on the side cheek. And so that's a lot of pressure. So I realize there's a certain fudge factor or a pressure factor that you got to forgive people for. It's not, I think it's all about intent, really, for me. For sure. I have to love my entrepreneur, because why would I want to get into a relationship with somebody that I mistrust, or why would I even want to get into a relationship with someone I just don't really care for? All the deals I commit to are always based mostly 90% on my gut reaction to that entrepreneur, how much I like and trust them.
Well, then tell me the first thing you notice about someone when they come into a business meeting with you.
I notice right away your posture. I put a lot into posture. I think it implies whether you're confident or not. So, you know, those little intuitive things about how people move, how they sit down, how they conduct themselves physically, sends a lot of messaging. If you don't make eye contact and hold it, right away not trusting you. And I know, as old-fashioned as it sounds, is the handshake. I think a lot of people today, they shake the hand and squeeze it hard, men and women included. Mm-hmm. I don't put much stock in that because everybody's onto that. But what I'm always looking for is a little nuance, but I've learned that it's a very good indicator, is that when someone grabs your hand, that they make contact with that flesh between your thumb and your pointy finger, that they make the contact. A lot of people squeeze, but you don't really get the contact with their hand because they don't come in far enough. They're backing off. And right away, I don't trust you. Okay. I know I put way too much emphasis on the handshake, and I go around town mostly correcting young women's handshakes. Give me a piercing squeeze, like I'm only 4'8", but here I come, squeeze, and my hand's aching. So I stop, I correct them, say, let me tell you what your handshake is missing and why you don't have to squeeze so hard once you get it, you know. But people are very appreciative. I don't do that to men, honest to God. I don't know why. I fear that maybe the guy's not going to take it well, but with any woman I could correct a handshake. I'm walking around town doing it all the time.
All right, so she's not going to notice the big bouquet of flowers, you guys, so I'm going to take those back, all right? She's not going to notice them.
Okay, good.
Finally, we have to get this wrapped up, but I want to know, how many times a day do you hear, hey, I have a business idea for you?
I would say, as often as I meet people, I would say maybe 50% of anyone I come into contact wants to discuss their business idea. Absolutely. From cab drivers to being at a restaurant celebrating my son's 16th birthday to somebody coming up while we're singing happy birthday and saying, hi, I just want to talk to you about my idea. It's like remarkable. To ladies' room in a stall in the JFK airport, a woman talking to my shoes, I swear to God. People, it's just automatic. And you want to know something, it's very funny. And I see the humor in it, and I don't mind it at all, because it's just people's, you know, people are being very friendly and giving you an opportunity that you don't want to take, but nonetheless, it's an extension of their hand. But before you go, you have to talk about this particular Shark Tank episode, because I'm telling you, it was so different having three women on the set and being in the majority and controlling the set that day. It's, for me, the most, and you're not even asking, so I'm just going to tell you what you don't want to hear. But
go for it.
For me, it was the first time in my life that I walked into a business situation where I felt like a guy because I had control of the majority. The people there were mostly female in a powerful business situation. That never happens to me. And I realized what an advantage men have to go in and find their own boy club there. But we had a girls' club, and what a difference that made on the set that day. I felt comfortable. I spoke my mind better than I ever had because I had confidence that I wasn't trying to prove anything interesting as a minority in a business situation. I was so thankful to have that opportunity to be the majority rules outnumbering the men on Shark Tank. It was great.
I was going to say, it sounds really empowering.
Well, you sound like you're just humoring me, but it was.
No,
it wasn't empowering. It was an eye-opener. It was an eye-opener. Like, whoa, so this is what the majority of business feels like. It never happens when you're a girl.
No, I'm not humoring you. I'm being yelled at that we've got to go. So we're going to be watching Shark Tank on ABC. Barbara, when can we catch the show?
We're going to catch it on Sunday night, 8 o'clock, 6, I'm sorry, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock Central Time.
All right, and I'll be emailing my business proposal.
Okay, you got it, right?
All right, Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Nice chatting. Bye-bye.
Bye now.